welcome back, and we have Ann Morrison here, and we're just going to do a couple of minutes intro, and we'll do a video afterward with Matthew expanding on the thesis he mentioned in this last hour, especially with the new breakthrough that the FBI, Mr. Comey, is looking at emails now and reopening and since the investigation over Hillary. So, Matt, just spend a couple of minutes. We'll expand on this considerably more after the show, just after 1 o'clock. So go ahead.
In case the audience isn't fully aware yet, I research in particular the symbolic psychological influences behind the events in the world, the personality types and psychology of the politicians involved and the movements involved collectively. And whether you like it or not, every day there are what we call bizarre coincidences or synchronicities that relate to what's going on in the collective subconscious.
Right.
And already, just before this intelligence agency came to power, we saw an extraordinary number of symbolic events, and extraordinarily potent symbolic events, which relate to the rape of Persephone, or the carrying away of the daughter of the goddess or daughter of spring by the god of the underworld. This is exactly what's happening in the world today. It's what's called in Revelation the Whore of Babylon and the Beast 666. The Beast is Hades and the Whore of Babylon is Persephone.
Right.
Well, for example, I've discussed this on my other program previously. In more detail on my own program earlier this year, which you can still find on iTunes. In 2013, there was a very strange, symbolic, almost ceremonial event, which I think came entirely out of the collective subconscious. And that is that there was a man in San Diego, California, or Boulevard, California, actually, but near San Diego, also a highly symbolic city for many reasons, mainly the name, and named James Lee DiMaggio, who kidnapped a girl that he apparently believed was his daughter or something, even though she apparently wasn't. Killed her family, killed her dog, killed her mother and brother and her dog, and burned down his house with their bodies inside, and then carried her off northward to the, believe it or not, the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness in Idaho, where he was found with her. He was shot by FBI snipers, I believe. Basically, what we see happening here is this guy, James Lee DiMaggio, who interestingly has the same first name, James, as James Egan Holmes, the shooter at Aurora, and the previous copycat inspirer for him, James Huberty, at the McDonald's shooting in San Isidro. Then we have Hannah, right? Hannah Anderson, which is a name related to Persephone. So here we have Hannah and James both representing the numbers, the principles of Hades and Persephone, and her being carried off to the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness. Well, Frank Church, as anybody who knows the history or was alive at the time knows, was the man who exposed MKUltra, mind control, during the Frank Church, the church hearings, right?
Right.
This was the church committee. This is how we found out about things like the CIA using LSD and attempting mind control of the masses. We don't even know the full extent of it because they burned most of the documents. But keep in mind that James Lee DiMaggio also worked at the Scripps Research Institute. I don't know what his job was there. I forget what his job was. But it was not directly involved, as far as I know, with any research. However, there is research done there into psychology and behavioral manipulation. So I find it very interesting that this man, I don't think that he was himself necessarily mind-controlled. I think what this is he's picking up on the subconscious suggestion, and the subconscious created this event out of his own psychopathy and impulsivity to symbolize what's happening on a larger scale to all of us. This sort of thing happens all the time.
Interesting. You're talking about a collective consciousness now. Interesting, Matt. You developed this thesis, which... Right. I want to expand on this after the show because it's obviously very deep. So we're going to switch to our science hour with Dan. But right after the show, we're going to do an update on this. Because I think it's very important, if we see the symbology here, which you do in your website, MatthewDeagle.com, you start to discern things that are happening on a global or personal scale. Yeah, that's really important.
Yes, yeah, so okay, you can find that I have a lot of information about this sort of thing. Well, I can do personal consultations as well. But the main point here is that everybody is part of a collective. We aren't separate from each other. And the collective is very intelligent but irrational.
Yeah, and
all these
that's very interesting.
Principles are still at work.
Right, so then that's what's going on with this U.S. election, is this the symbology is being played as almost literally very parallel to the ancient symbology world.
It is actually what's prophesied by Enoch as Leviathan and Behemoth. Leviathan is said to dwell at the depths of the ocean. Originally, I think the Mediterranean Sea, but now that would be the Atlantic Ocean, which is the nexus or the center of gravity between the U.S. and Europe. That's Leviathan, the daughter of spring, the flower child, the whore of Babylon. Now, her husband or boyfriend or whatever you want to call it, her rapist, that's the number eight, right, Leviathan. The number 17 is her captor.
Yeah,
that is that's called Behemoth, and Behemoth is located in the center of the Dasht Elu Desert in Iran, which now actually has the hottest soil temperatures on Earth. So here we have Leviathan and Behemoth, the prophesied beasts of the apocalypse, active, very clearly active in the form of ISIS, for example, being Behemoth, people like Clinton and Merkel being Leviathan. And it's only a matter of time until these beasts are married, so to speak, and we end up in a totalitarian dictatorship under Behemoth's rule with the mark of the beast.
We'll expand this, Matt. I really want to hear your whole thesis, but we want to go through the details. We'll do a video after the show.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Matthew. So, Ann, let's get into our... That was pretty heavy stuff. He's done an amazing analysis of it, and it fits the symbology. And let's go through some of the major issues we have on our news and science blog today. What are the primary issues we're going to discuss today? Because I've got all your docs here. Update, you see the attached files, and I see the DocX file as well.
Well, okay. Yeah, use the DocX file if you haven't had a chance to integrate the other ones. I want to talk about the Zika virus. The Dr. Frieden, who is the head of the CDC, made a speech in Miami-Dade County at the Emergency Operations Center, and he said on Tuesday that the Zika virus will likely become endemic in the Western Hemisphere. Now, endemic means that if you visit places where the virus is endemic, then you're likely to get it. There's no vaccine, there's no cure. It's like other places that have endemic viruses.
Unless you take our antipathogenics, like our new Nutrisilver, Allicin Med, etc., you can't get any infections, intracellular or otherwise. The problem is, you see, people don't do that, and the typical antiviral drugs that doctors have are so damn toxic you can say goodbye to your liver. So if you take antivirals that doctors give, like ribavirin and so on, your hemoglobin can drop a gram per day. That's how bad it is on your body, on your bone marrow.
Okay, what Dr. Fried had to say is very disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the Zika virus is more widespread than the Florida health officials have reported. And the rapid spread of pathogens such as Zika represents a new normal in the age of global travel and trade, booming cities, and climate change. So he's talking about getting around the globe and carrying these mosquitoes with you. Maybe they hitch a ride on a boat that carries these mosquitoes with them. And booming cities, of course, people are living on the streets. They aren't living.
There's a couple of questions I want to raise, and the questions I don't have the answers for, but they need to be raised. Number one, are there co-infections? For example, chikungunya, yellow fever. And the second thing is, besides these co-infections, we ignore the fact that we have this double-stranded DNA called this Frankenvirus, that's the Franken DNA, that can jump with the transposon genes that's in mosquitoes are now re-released into Florida. And we know when it was released in Georgia, there were doctors, Mayon Ho and other doctors actually said, over the years, these genes, double-stranded DNA, have jumped into plants animals, vectors, and humans. So, and again, it's a silent plague, a genetic plague. We don't know if there's co-infections or if there's these so-called transposon genes are jumping out and starting to change people's epigenetics. So there's more than one issue here going on, but Zika alone, it affects the endoplasmic reticulum. And the way it works in causing microcephaly, for example, it does a thing called UPR, unfolding protein response of the endoplasmic reticulum. And so it directly is cytotoxic to nerve cells in a developing fetus, but may also cause chronic neurological degeneration in adults. There's some suggestion that it may be a factor in chronic multilocal encephalopathy and may be a factor in dementia. So Cornell University 4 years ago published from New York City that 28% of people that actually die of dementia grow viruses in their brain tissue that they can culture, and they have a very advanced culture lab. We're talking about viruses. There may also be other things like fungi, mycobacteria, and even things like psittacosis comes from birds. And, of course, you're a bird keeper, so you know about bird keeper's disease and psittacosis. So the problem is we don't ask enough questions and we don't seek the data. We don't know how, for example, widespread the genetics are from this previous experiment to put it in a bulbous moth in Georgia to get rid of the moth that was destroying the cotton crop. And now that they're releasing these genes, we now only have not only Zika virus, it's my suspicion that there's, because the climate's changing, we're probably starting to see other filoviruses in the same class that may also be co-pathogens in some of these individuals. We just don't know, do we?
Well, they do know. They did take a look at that, and the only one they found that could be a co-pathogen was the chikungunya. Yeah. Zika took the health officials by surprise. He said that there's still a lot the scientists do not know about the effects of Zika.
Yeah, but one thing I want to mention, though, and I want to get to your take on it. They did a test of the pre and post, OXY513A gene complex that was inserted into the population. And out of 10,000 gene codons that make up the Zika virus, there's only 15 codon change. So it's not a big change that causes this to become considerably different than the 1947 or later Oceania versions of Zika. So a very minor change in this RNA virus has caused massive changes in its neurotoxic and cytotropic effects. So, you know, we're stymied by the fact that not only has it spread so far, but how it's increasing the levels. And I still see reports coming out of national news saying it's not Zika virus, it's the spread of these anti-mosquito kind of sprays. They're both toxic, but I don't think that you can just wipe out and say Zika's not causing this, because you can actually grow the Zika virus out of the back of eyeballs of children that die that have this virus in their brain and they get microcephaly. We know how it works. I mean, you can even make an animal model of it. I'm certain that by itself it can do a lot of these bad things.
Yes. He said it had characteristics that we had not seen with other diseases before. Uh-huh. And that's true to some extent. And rule of thumb, he said that that Florida has not been transparent in reporting the number of Zika cases. Florida has reported 1,064 Zika cases. But Dr. Frieden says, the rule of thumb is that for every case you diagnose, you've probably got 10 more. Now, remember when we talked about four-fifths of the people who get Zika don't have any symptoms. And so they're not diagnosed. And we were multiplying by five.
Right.
Well, he's now doubled that. And so instead of 1,064 Zika cases, we've got 10,000 cases of Zika. And 10,640, if you want to be literal. And so he's really upped the number of cases that may be out there. And we've got to get that word out to the people that listen to us.
It also, by the way, may be spread by other means. They found, for example, in that island, in Guadalupe Island, that it was even transmitted in the vaginal mucosa, even though it wasn't present in the blood or other tissues. The fact is that the Zika virus may persist in certain tissues of the body, like the eye and the sexual organs, for months or even years. We're now starting to discover this can be a chronic STD. Zika virus is very different, and it goes to an area that we really don't understand fully is epigenetics. You know, people often think you got a gene and the gene expresses itself, that's the way it is. But there's also what's called gene operons that actually regulate whether the gene's turned on or off or not. And that's where you get into RNA and endoplasmic reticulum, all kinds of modulating things like exosomes. Exosomes are really important. And if you start researching, if you just look it up, exosomes and so on, and the control of ion channels, genes really are just kind of like a basic template. The body literally takes that template and can do all kinds of things to determine if it even, you know, turns on a gene or not. And that's really important to understand that, isn't it?
Yes, we have a statement from the University of California at San Francisco that says Zika virus is a public health emergency. And they've written a very detailed paper quoting studies that have been done. Now, they say the outbreak size depends on R-naught. We had talked about R-naught before.
Right.
R-naught is the number of times that the disease is spread before the outbreak starts to slow down. Usually, like the seasonal flu, it's 1.2 or 1.3. But they give two examples. An R-naught of 2 means that the outbreak slows down after one half of the population has been infected.
Whoa.
And then, yeah, okay, now we're getting your attention. An R-naught of 3 means the outbreak slows down after 2/3 of the population has been infected. Well, what do you suppose they discovered about the R-naught of Zika?
Well,
they discovered.
Higher
they
than
discovered
that?
It ranges from 1.4 to 6.6.
Whoa. Now, of course, here's the question you'd ask. What physiological or genetic factors, for example, they discovered that some genes of people that survived the Black Death carry a gene that prevents the AIDS virus from turning into AIDS. You're aware of that, right? So that if you carry those specific genes, even if you get the AIDS virus, you'll never get AIDS. And they're very common among Scandinavian people that survived the Black Death. Those that survive carry these specific gene complexes, so they'll never get AIDS even if they get the virus. We don't know what genetics are going to protect people from this doing really bad things like neurotropic effects or dementia or being spread sexually. We just don't know yet. But if they're talking about this wide range of this R-naught, like, oh my gosh. And then we don't know what it's doing because, you know, it might do things like cause permanent genetic damage to people so they can't reproduce, or it may cause neurodegeneration that may start at, God knows it. Maybe if you're the 10th year in to having the chronic virus, it starts to do stuff to your neurons or your frontal lobes that we don't know yet, like dysmyelination. So it's an unknown, isn't it? The whole of this, a lot of this stuff is unknown because you don't know how long a chronic stealth infection like this and what it'll do to your brain or your body or your sexual reproduction.
Well, I'm going to assume, I'm going to make an assumption that for 1.4 was probably a traveler who came back with Zika and has a monogamous sex life. And so he transfers it to one other person.
Right.
But you have to remember that it can be in the saliva. And so if he has children or grandchildren, and she does, then they will pass it on to them.
Sharing food or kissing.
Yes, I'm sure that the 6.6 involves mosquitoes, because one person can be bitten by a mosquito, which can bite many other people.
Yeah, partial blood meal is what you're saying. Isn't that the one that the mosquito that's common here in America is the partial blood meal mosquito? The Anopheles aegypti?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They like to get a little meal here, a little meal there, and spread the virus while they're doing it. Uh-oh. That's scary stuff, Ann.
This is very scary.
Scarier than the wildebeest.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
People love to shop. What if you could shop and it was actually good for you? What if you could actually purchase items that bettered your life? What goes into your body is important to what quality of life you have. How about shopping for items that better your health? GetTheTea.com is that shopping place. We're not only tea, even though that's our number one seller, we are about helping your health. There's colostrum LD for those of you with autoimmune troubles. The product helps your stomach get on track. GI problems produce pain. Get relief with colostrum LD. How about some fat burners? Or maybe some joint aid? Or a power cleanse? There's so much to tell you with very little time. So get help health-wise at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call our friendly operators at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Get help and relief by going shopping. Shop at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Serving people with great products for over 8 years. GetTheTea.com.
Couple of quick announcements. I've developed this new technology. I've been working on it for now a decade, and I've got this new technology for our neutral silver. It is thousands of times stronger than any other silver. It's even much more powerful than our silver 100, and it is basically angstrom silver hydrogenated to make it alkaline, now covered in an enzymatic envelope of liposomes, not just liposomes, but enzymatic envelope, and it is so powerful. We also have Allicin Med that if you take it, you won't even have a biting insect bite you. And a lot of people need to realize we are in the end times. This is another end time plague. We don't only have genetic jumping gene transposons like the OXY-5138 that are doing all kinds of epigenetic weird things to the population. The spread and the climate change and the spread of viruses like Zika, they spread all the way in a matter of a few years of chikungunya all the way up to New York State. The spread of new forms of candida, like candida auris, that now in Japan discovered just earlier this year, has a 60% case fatality rate. Imagine. Now, I started doing research on this many years ago, and there's a number of what we call top mycology laboratories, one here in California, one in Osaka, Japan. There's five centers of excellence around the world. And fungi are not so passive. And a lot of these pathogens, and most people are not aware, you often have more than one pathogen. I did a review when I was a resident in family internal medicine back in 1978 at the intensive care unit at the Calgary General Hospital, and I reviewed all the literature in the world, and what I discovered is most people that are dying of a traumatic injury or burn don't just die of gram-negative septicemia, they die of fungal septicemia. And you can actually culture out the fungi growing in their heart valves and in their kidneys. I mean, people should understand there's a lot more to this idea of stealth pathogens and how they can wreck your genetics and kill you, and how, in fact, even heart disease is just infected biofilm, and it's not directly correlated to cholesterol at all. It is correlated to factors like oxidative stress, loss of the superoxide dismutase, increased fatty acid oxidation and cholesterol to form 9-neuronal hydroxycholesterol. So, you know, we have nutraceuticals that are solutions that the regular medical doctors do not have to reverse illness or to protect you. And so that's why please consult, because we're having these plagues, and part of prepping is realizing that we have these plagues that are literally spreading wild, and you may have no symptoms. 80% don't have any symptoms that they're now infected, and it may wreck your genetics. You know, we're dealing with what we call real serious geoclimatic and genetic dangers, and people don't get it, do they?
Well, they better start getting it, because our public health officials are committing genocide.
Well,
they
don't test things. For example, I was a reference site by office in Denver for the Center for Disease Control, and I had viral cultures, which most doctors didn't have. And I wanted to know, so I became a site to find out which viruses were the ambient viruses, and I'd get reports back right away. What I found out is that my colleagues, both pediatricians, family doctors, and internists, and including even infectious disease doctors, none of them knew what the hell the ambient viruses were, or there were more than one pathogen. I was doing immunology tests at Immunosciences Lab. At the time, it was in Beverly Hills, and it moved to Los Angeles with Dr. Arista Vujadani. And the thing is, if you don't ask, you don't know. And even if these people have qualifications as specialists, what I found is they were completely ignorant because they never were a reference site. They didn't do the tests themselves. So it's like a carpenter. Measure twice, cut once. Well, how about measure 10 times and ask questions about what you think you know, but you actually don't, because you're making assumptions. And this is the basis for someone who's good at science, which I'm very good at. It's a talent, because I'm skeptical of even my skepticalness. In other words, you have to keep your skepticals on, like I said, spectacles, because if you don't, you're going to make assumptions. A priori assumptions will make sure you really will never find, number one, the problem identification, but a solution. It's very disturbing that we are populated with people that are what I call diseducated. They really don't know how to use their intellect or how to use their inductive and deductive logic to identify the escape or the corollaries of a specific problem or the idea of a pathway to a solution. And neither one of these things gets done, even though these are billions of dollars at it. And the policies are wrong, like even the spraying. It's the spraying for the wrong kind of mosquitoes. It doesn't deal with it when the mosquito can grow in a drop of water in a flower pot in your kitchen, and you're spraying outside, which will kill a different type of vector. It's stupid, isn't it?
Well, it certainly doesn't. It shows a lack of vision.
Yeah. It shows a lack of shows a lack of intellect. How's that?
Well, that too.
Yeah, they're what I call on the genius scale. They're brainiacs with a negative IQ of 4,000. How's that?
Well, they're technicians. They're not scientists.
Yeah, well, that's not good. That's not what you need. You need someone who's always in a state of being uncomfortable with their vision of...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
By the way, we're going to change that song up from Adele to Susan Boyle's I Dreamed a Dream. So that song will be coming up, and we'll work with our board ops to find the right section of the song that will come up. It's my opinion. It's not based on fact, because I know about viruses that have been modified. When I visited Human Life International headquarters in Zurich, Switzerland, and I spoke privately to their board of all the doctors and scientists who had smuggled out documents for three projects from the World Health Organization, given to me on March 16, 1997. And again, remember, I have a photographic memory. I'm a little dangerous that way. And they gave me documents on three projects. One was to create through recombination, the Lyme parasite, which is three different spirochetes. They created a transgenic Lyme super parasite at the Class 5 facility in Long Island, New York. The second was to create a vaccine against human chorionic gonadotropin to create sterility in the first trimester by creating antibodies and lymphocytes to attack the trophoblast of pregnancy. And the third virus is to create the AIDS virus, which, of course, the AIDS virus was released specifically in clinics that included a high percentage of people that were gay, and it was also released in Soweto, South Africa. Now, the Zika virus is only a 15 base pair change. And typically, if you're going to do a genetic change to a virus, you're going to take a known pathogenic gene sequence and you're going to insert it. And there's ways of inserting pretty simply right now using endonucleases and other things to insert the genes. For example, the double-stranded DNA, which is the Oxitec 513A gene, by Intrexon, later taken over. Intrexon, basically, better living through better DNA. That's kind of creepy, but that's their moniker out of Maryland. It's my guess that the Zika virus is like getting somebody that's really rich funding you to go and gamble in Vegas. And if you get, say, 10 million votes in Keno, which is little balls that fall down like a lottery, you're probably going to win. Now, the only provision is you got to share your winnings with the guy who gave you the $100 million to keep on throwing balls down. Well, it's the same thing when you go and release the Oxy-513A gene in South America over millions of square miles. The chances that you're going to get a specific gene complex, it'll have three characteristics. Number one, it'll persist, meaning that the virus isn't going to die or kill off its vector or host so it can't spread. Number two, it'll cause a delayed and very nasty pathogenic effect, which it does with being neurotropic and affecting the UPR response of endoplasmic reticulum. And the third thing is it's stable. In other words, it's not going to further deteriorate to the point where it no longer is pathogenic. My guess is that it's probably an 80% chance that this was not created in a lab. It happened spontaneously because of the stupidity of people playing around thinking, if we insert this gene, and remember the thesis was, when we inserted the Oxy-513A transposon gene, if there was no tetracycline, it would kill all the generation. Now, of course, 1 in 200 of these mosquitoes was hand-selected, was going to be also female, so the female ones could just carry the gene by having daughters. And, you know, the daughter and son mosquitoes. So that was a bad idea. But the other was the fact that there's third largest user of tetracycline in the world for their cattle is Brazil. So two major intellectual stupid errors that these people made. Number one, when 200 of the hand-selected mosquitoes was female. The second was that the ambient level of tetracycline would completely prevent this lethal gene from causing its damage. So that if you put the mosquitoes out, you'd supposedly reduce the infected population of mosquitoes by like 92%, and the second time, boom, they're gone. They would cease to exist. Problem is, because even very tiny amounts in, you know, micromoles of this, you know, parts per quadrillion are enough to actually make this gene not work. And it's my guess that the Zika virus is, again, this is another example of lack of insight and lack of foresight and just plain stupidity. There were other doctors who were actually warning against this, like Dr. Maiwan Ho, who published in 2001 it was a bad idea to do this with the Ballworth moth, because the mosquito is not the only one. They inserted these genes into a moth to try to get rid of the moth population that were eating all the cotton in places like Georgia. So, you know, my colleague, Dr. Robert Brown, because I trained under a bioweaponeer when I did my bacteriology, virology, and marine bacteriology honors and PhD project. I didn't write the thesis, but I completed it in 5 months by sleeping on the lab floor at age 21 in 1973. And Dr. Brown brought me to the Brown Derby restaurant in Halifax, and he broke down crying when he said, all my colleagues died. I said, what do you mean? I'm thinking, this guy's trying to disclose something. So he told me a very long and ugly story that his first day in 10 years he was sick with the flu, and the T-virus, which, you know, sounds like a B-movie, but it was real, was a recombinant where the injector core would paralyze you and grow in your body and make you eventually suffocate. And 1 kilogram, at least at 40,000 feet, was estimated by the bioweaponeers working and not only the campus there at Bethesda, but also at their satellite campus in Rutgers, that it would kill 40 million people. And what it would do is the injector core would actually make you block your neuromuscular junction like Harari and paralyze you so you'd eventually suffocate over 4 to 24 hours. And what happened when the virus got out and the warning system went off, they locked down the facility and all his friends and colleagues were incinerated at 2,000 degrees, including all the lab specimens. And they actually, once they fully incinerated and foamed it with toxic foam, they dropped everything in a giant hole in the parking area because they didn't want to move it even by train or truck, and then capped it off with giant levels of concrete and sealant to make sure the virus never got out. Now, people don't understand this, that since 9/11, we've expanded the number of BSL 3 and 4 facilities immensely. When Katrina happened, the only thing they had protecting BSL 4 lab specimens of serious bioweapons and reference things like the smallpox virus, which is really dangerous, was a chain link on a chain lock on a fence in New Orleans. People don't know how damn stupid scientists are and how careless they are and how they lack logic and common sense. One of the projects that I knew about was one of these doctors that basically, he must have had some form of mental illness. He wanted to do research in what's called a kappa gene in E. coli. Now, if you screw with the kappa gene in E. coli, you can create a super pathogen that could kill all mammals on Earth, including the great whales. Now, he got turned down, and they thought, this guy needs to be referred to a psychiatrist because he was very persistent to try to continue to get the grants. And by the way, he's getting U.S. grants for the bioweapon facilities as well as Canadian. A lot of the research done on bioweapons isn't done just in the United States. It's done in labs in Europe and especially in Canada. So a lot of Canadian universities are doing really dangerous, crazy-ass shit that really shouldn't have been done, and that's over the last 50 years. We're not just talking the last 5 or 10. And it crosses both administrations. So never underestimate people's narcissism, stupidity, and lack of logic or common sense or the recognition that they've made a mistake once they do it. What do you think, Anne? I mean, so I think that Zika is very dangerous, but it happened spontaneously because they did stupid things and didn't recognize what even Dr. Mei Wan Ho and others said. I don't think you should do this. It's like kids playing with matches over gasoline open cans. It's really, really bad.
Well, I guess my question is that they weren't looking for microcephaly and they weren't looking for Guillain-Barré syndrome when it was in French Polynesia. That when those became very evident, when we went into a huge population center in Brazil,
right.
Then they went back and they looked at the population who had been exposed to Zika in French Polynesia, and they did find Guillain-Barré.
They weren't looking for it. They weren't looking for it. Just like
they weren't looking for it.
You take scientists that are better scientists than the average, and say the Sloan Kettering Cancer Institute in New York City or Cornell looking at the virus growth in brain tissue. See, I'm a scientist. I have my core modus of my mind is you have to have what's called three copies of the never-S gene. You're never really satisfied that you think you really know anything. And if you say that, if you always have your skepticals on, and you drive everybody else crazy because you ask questions like, why did you ask that question? We already wrote our thesis. We already got our grant. If you do that, the professors, everybody will go crazy. The fact is, we don't have the attitude of a real scientist, which is always a bit uneasy that we think we really know what we're doing. And that's why when you get a good engineer that's running, let's say, a steam engine 100 years ago, or somebody that's flying an airplane, the first airplane, you had to be obsessive-compulsive and triple-anal. Otherwise, you're going to screw up. And the problem is we are populated with technicians, and people are not very logical, and they've never really taken seriously inductive and deductive logic or being uncomfortable with their knowledge base. And that's a problem because it's a characterological thing. It's it's almost like an intellectual exercise thing because they haven't learned how to do intellectual calisthenics. So as a result, they can absorb and regurgitate so they get good test scores to get straight through their master's and PhD and regurgitate to their professors, but they're brainless idiots. A good example is Hillary Clinton, who obviously is a 16-year-old flower power child who doesn't get over the fact she's an ideologue, and even when she sees the results of her ideologue screwing things up, she never recorrects or fixes. It's like a pilot saying, you know, my altimeter doesn't look good. How come I can see the ground coming up? And the same thing with these scientists. They don't see the ground coming up, and they don't recognize that years ago that these things were happening, and now the virus has changed only 15 base pairs, so it's much more frequent. Or we have idiots like, Mike Adams over at Natural News, who's not a scientist, who says it's only the sprays. The sprays are toxic, too. They're genotoxic, and they're probably a cotoxin. Just like the mineral deficiency in our food is a cotoxin, in a sense, and all the things, for example, in mother's milk in Washington State, there's 40 times the level of EPA, acceptable amounts of JPH jet fuel in mother's milk as is acceptable even by EPA standards. So one thing I've learned is a comment by Einstein that says, genius is quantifiable, stupidity is limitless. Now, some of you have accused me of being smart. I'm just never settled. I dream in equations. I ask questions about what I think I know. I think I know. And when you act like that, people say, well, how did you get so smart? I said, well, I'm really not ever think I master anything. I mean, whether it's a spiritual issue or a geopolitical or scientific, but I'm further down the road because I've asked 10,000 more questions, and I've had some answers that give me an answer. For example, what is heart disease? What is dementia? What is multiple sclerosis? What is autoimmunity? How is it tied with small bowel overgrowth? So I have answers to hundreds of issues, including what is pain. I discovered the pain gate called the Langerhans gate, and it's going to be in my, I'm writing it up this year, but I never published it. Well, I've discovered what pain is. Do you think anybody else on the planet really knows what pain is? I do. I can tell you neuroanatomically exactly what it is. The problem is they don't ask the questions, so they're never going to get the answers. Or the answers they have are going to be useless or take them off of the track, and they're going to spend millions or billions of dollars on stupid stuff that's going to go nowhere. And that's what's bad about our public health system. Just the same way I had a gentleman the other day call me, do you have, he was being rhetorical, can you tell me where the bomb shelters are if they start a war? And I said, well, there aren't any. You know, back in the early 80s, we even had food savings for the entire country. There were in massive stores across the country. We don't have any. So if we had a massive famine, we don't have food beyond 4 days to 2 weeks. We'd have the people literally eating each other and eating their pets. You know, one of the things that I find particularly disturbing is there's a lot of people in the regular media or even alternative who don't have a clue. And the first thing is don't seek the answers. Seek the best questions. The problem is, you see, if you're seeking answers and you don't have a proper set of questions to guide your logic, you're going to screw up. And this is the reason why people like Hillary Clinton geopolitically are a screw up, and George Bush, who's another useful idiot, and Angela Merkel is another useful idiot. Because even though they master something like chemistry or physics and can regurgitate it, they don't have original intellect, which is polydimensional, and therefore they're a danger to themselves and anybody around them. Because they're policy wonks, whether it's science or otherwise. Interesting, eh?
They got the power. Okay.
They got the power. That's like that song. They got the power.
They got the power. Okay, to answer your question about whether you can have a dual infection of two flaviviruses, it's only been established with chikungunya and dengue, so not the other ones yet.
Yeah, well, that's kind of good. Now, the thing is that we have to start looking at the idea of why do people have receptor binding domains for viruses? Because if you actually look at the human genome, did you know that 97% of the human genome is ancient viral DNA chunks of just like a tar paper shack built by debris that floats on the ocean to Haiti? Most people don't realize that much of the human genome is created by fragments of ancient viral DNA. So the viruses are almost like the DNA bus. And when your body creates DNA chunks to survive and adapt to the environment, it already has what we call a biophotonic template. It just grabs local DNA that comes in and says, hey, that piece will work for this hole in my roof, and then slaps it on. And people need to understand that there's a creative process going on in your DNA to even create new code. We've discovered there's specific sections of DNA that write new DNA code, not just epigenetically, but in your genes. So while you're alive, you're coding for new DNA. And epigenetically, if you have an adult, for example, eats all the wrong foods to be what we call pro-diabetic, you'll pass on those epigenetic code changes to your descendants. So it's not just a matter of you got a few bad genes you got from, you know, some ancient ancestor that got a mutation. You actually are creating new gene code and epigenetic code while you're alive, and if you screw up, you're going to pass it on. Interesting, eh?
Well, isn't that the same thing as when genes are active and when they aren't?
It's even more. It's even more intelligent than that. In other words, there's an AI system inside your genetics that interacts with the environment in a polydimensional, nonlinear way. And
Read about that. It seems to jump a generation. In other words, your mother may have stars, and your children then will have a different digestive system, so that they can continue to live on less food.
Right, exactly. Or if you've got chronic deficiency of chromium and vanadium, you're going to get insulin resistance because, in a sense, even though in the land of plenty, your body thinks you're starving. So, in fact, it's the activation of famine genes that make you diabetic and fat. Isn't that interesting?
That's very interesting. Yeah. Okay. Now, what I think that we had talked about when, since only one-fifth of the people that have Zika have symptoms, sometimes with men, the first time they notice something wrong is that they have blood in their urine.
Oh, yeah.
They go to the doctor, and the doctor said, he goes through the usual things, checking the kidney and the urogenital system, and then he thinks, oh, did you make a trip? Yes, and then they check for Zika. Now, this is very unusual. None of the other arboviruses have this hemidospermia, where blood is found in the semen. Now, arboviruses is a supergroup, and one of its subgroups is flaviviruses. So that means even more than just the flaviviruses. We're talking about all the arboviruses. So that in Zika, this is a very unusual symptom.
It is indeed. That's amazing. I guess we got a lot of topics we're going to cover in our video after the show today, because there's so much stuff.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
There's a lot. Yeah.
We've got seismic, climate.
I want to talk about women too.
Uh-huh.
They've done some research on women.
Great. Back in a minute. I'll be right back. Bye.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stadtmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
cover this last segment, and then we're going to cover all the other issues: radiation, domestic disturbances, terrorism, climate, and seismic activity after in the videos that we'll post up.
Yeah, because I want to get through this. This is such important information about Zika that has just been published, and for the Dr. Friedman to come out and say what he said is it's just astounding. It's just astounding that he would admit to what he's admitted to. Anyway, semen can Zika can remain in semen up to 4 months. But by comparison, the Ebola virus has been detected in semen up to 6 months. So, and that is in more than 40% of the survivors.
Wow!
So they're both residual in the body for at least that long. You know, they say that what they've discovered is that, you know, how women have fibrous tissue, especially in their uterus and in their breasts. Usually it just causes pain, and eventually, you know, you go in and get a DNC to get the fibrous tissue out of your uterus if you're planning on having more children. Well, they think that uterine fibroblasts are susceptible to infection by Zika, and so that may be a place where women could pass Zika back to their male partner.
Whoa, that's interesting, because fibroblasts are one of the toughest cells in the body. They have to be, and when they get fibroblast transformation too, they can actually create the ligaments that hold your tissues together and hold your uterus up, or the underlying building block for bone, which is 42% is collagen created by fibroblasts. So that's a big deal. That's
a big deal.
Yeah.
And they also say that they have detected Zika in vaginal fluids. 3 days, up to 3 days, and in cervical mucus up to 11 days. So, they're different things. Just taking it would be easy to get a vaginal swab. It would not be easy to get a cervical mucus swab. So that's why, they may say, well, you need to take a cervical mucus swab, and the people out in the field are going to say, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, it's going to be Yeah, you have to have proper scopes and then tables and everything.
Yeah, and they're not going to do that.
No.
But anyway, so the R-naught for Zika could range up to over 6, and at 6, remember I said at 2, one-half of the population have to be infected before before the outbreak started to slow down, and at 3, it would take two-thirds. Well, at 6, it's going to take 99% of the population to have it.
Whoa. Yeah, you have that all our R-naught tables here. We'll put that up together on our videos when we do it after the show. Amazing. Scary.
It shows, this is really scary stuff.
What I call a combination of lack of timeliness, lack of competency, lack of the uncomfortableness, thinking they have the mastery of these issues, and they really don't. And now this information is coming out from Dr. Frieden. That's very, very scary. I mean,
We have to protect our girls. We have to protect our girls.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Ann. We'll do an update after the show and video. And we'll be back in a moment with the firing line coming back in just a minute. And Michelle is here.
Am I late today?
No.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.